Last exit to Brooklyn, I enter. Carefully, the queen holds my scepter. Getting numb like a derelict on scotch. I'm Dick Lewis, cause baby, I'm watching you scheme on a brother for nine.
All right.
So here we are, everybody. Welcome to the show, Last Exit to Brooklyn, here on United Stations.
We're all back.
Yeah.
We're all here.
Yeah. We have a special guest. Who's our special guest?
Molly Heckerling.
I'm the special guest.
Hey, Molly. Friend of the show. Yeah. How do you like our new studio?
It's fancy schmancy. I feel like I'm at the United Nations, not the United Stations.
It does feel like that, right?
Yeah.
It's about the size.
It's a little intimidating.
I actually heard they were going to turn the United Nations into a podcast. So. Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, you know, if this doesn't go well, then it's World War III. So no pressure. Mm.
Yeah.
You like the microphones?
I do. I love the microphones.
Yeah. We coughed on all of them before.
Okay.
Yeah. Spreading the corona.
I want to know how I'm going to get home.
Yeah. You want to know how you're going to get coronavirus?
Yeah. You know, the suspense is killing me.
Because you know you're definitely going to get it.
Right.
Are you one of those people where you're like, oh, a bad thing, it's definitely going to happen to me?
I am, except when it actually is like a viable threat. Then I'm just like, it's no big deal. Who fucking cares? Coronavirus. Let me touch your face.
Yeah. Well, do you think people are taking it seriously? Like, do you think it's, because I mean, there are cases in New York City now. There was a case apparently like right across the street from where I'm working. So that was a little like, oh, and near Grand Central Station.
Oh, okay.
Which, and I was like, why aren't people like talking about that more? Because like, I was kind of like, oh, Grand Central, a guy in Grand Central Station, kind of, oh, don't worry, no one ever goes there.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, I was saying to Eric, like, that's always the go-to reference when in pop culture and people are trying to talk about the busiest place in the world. Like, they'll always be like, man, it's like Grand Central Station. Like, I remember, like, on the show MASH.
Oh, yeah.
They would be like, hey, it's crazy in here. It's like Grand Central Station. So it's like, oh, someone got coronavirus in Grand Central Station? Oh, yeah. No big deal.
Yeah, where's Alan Alda when you need him?
I love how all my references always get back to
very old, yeah.
I feel like that's a thing that you say when you've never actually been to Grand Central Station. Yes. Yeah, it's like Grand Central Station in here.
Well, apparently where this whole thing kind of really spread was this Wuhan, South China market. Apparently a lot of people go and stuff. So it was
Wuhan's like a giant city. We don't know like big Eastern cities in the West.
Right.
But Wuhan's like if it were in the East, it'd be, or in the West, it would be one of the biggest cities, you know, between Europe and the Americas. Massive,
yeah.
Population wise.
Is that what that Busta Rhymes song is? Is
Wuhan
referencing?
Clan?
No, Wuhan. Remember
that song?
It's
gotten into the 90s now, which is good.
I know. Yeah. You don't remember that song, Wuhan?
Nope.
I got you all in check. You don't remember? That was a big song.
Well, it was about the coronavirus.
It was, wow.
It was very prescient. Mm.
Thank you. You'd be great to be on an improv team with.
Yep.
Do you know this?
No. No, but. Yeah. No, but you're wrong and stop talking.
All right, okay. I need a song that no one knows.
Well, you're not nervous about it at all?
I am pregnant.
Do you mind saying that?
I'm pregnant.
We already said it.
And I live in a building with my 90-year-old grandma, and theoretically I should be scared shitless, but I'm also such a contrarian, again, that like I feel like because everyone's freaking out about it so much, I simply refuse. It's like reading the Da Vinci Code. I'm like, fuck you, I'm not reading it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're all talking about it too much.
Wow, you're really missing out on that one.
Yeah, right.
That was a 2005 reference, so we're moving on.
We're there, man.
How many people died from that?
From the Da Vinci Code?
Yeah.
Not enough. just everybody's intellect.
Yeah.
We can talk about that in another podcast. So, yeah, are you worried about it or no, you're not? Worried about it?
I am.
Are you?
Yeah.
Not yet, but... You know, I was thinking about the other day. It's like,
what'll it take?
No, but
it'll have to be a case in your apartment.
I'll tell you why, because comedians still are making fun of it. Every single comic on every show is talking about it, making a joke about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it on late night TV and stuff like that. And I don't, you know, usually when there's a tragedy, no one makes a joke, and then you wait a while, and then people start making jokes. But this is kind of working reverse now. I feel like everyone's making jokes, but the worse it gets. I mean, when people really start dying, are anyone going to make jokes?
Yeah.
People are dying already.
Besides
though.
Ari Schaefer? I mean, is anyone else going to?
People are going to make jokes because this is like a tragedy that you can't stop from happening. Like when 9/11 happened, people kind of immediately, comedians at least, immediately started making jokes. because it's just, it's out of your control. This isn't like a political tragedy or something.
I feel like thousands of people are going to die and Trump's still going to be, his approval rating is still going to be 43%.
It's never going out of the 40s.
It's going to be like 100,000. People just will not turn on it. I mean, that's the main thing that I was thinking, you know, goes to immediately is how they don't do anything. You know what I mean? They're not handed. Because wasn't he kind of like, oh, it's not a big deal. It's going to disappear.
I thought he put Mike Pence in charge of containing it. And then Mike Pence was like, just pray away the fucking coronavirus. It works with being gay. Just do it.
Yeah, yeah. I just loved how he did say that it'll disappear, Trump. That's literally.
He said when it gets warm out, so, you know.
But he even gave a date. Like he said like April, which is such an odd, like, you know, it's such a vague, why April? You know what I mean? Like, thank you, doctor.
I don't know if you know this. Sometimes he doesn't tell the truth.
Yeah.
Sometimes he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah, I'm getting that. But kind I guess it just seems like a thing that, you know, finally he would, you know, he couldn't get out of, but he seems to be getting out of it.
No,
so.
He like defunded the CDC, didn't he?
Yeah, that was part of it. Yeah.
That's why people are pissed, I think.
Yeah, it was just some people, you know, Obama kind of put extra money into it and some people into it. And when Trump came in, he out of spite, he was just cutting everything off.
Which
Obama
was
did.
Prior to, you know, it was prior to the outbreak. It wasn't like he did that after.
No,
he
no, but he was just doing everything to, I mean, even if it was good or bad, he would just do it to spite.
Do you follow politics, Molly?
I do. I'm very obnoxious on Twitter, so I like to think I'm.
So are you following what's happened in the last, so what the big developments in the last, so I guess Super Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Biden had a huge comeback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you see that coming?
I kind of did because all the centrists dropped out immediately and endorsed him. So I was like, oh, they're trying to give him that Super Tuesday bump.
Right.
Right.
And
Liz is gone now, right?
Liz is gone now. And I'm hoping that she runs with Sanders because I feel like that would be an unstoppable ticket.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I do. I think it would like piss off some Warren supporters and piss off some Sanders supporters, but I'd be in hog heaven, so I don't give a shit.
Okay.
You know he's not winning the nomination, though.
I don't know.
I don't think so now.
I mean, they're certainly doing everything they can to stop him, but I feel bad for Joe Biden at this point. He's like confusing his wife with his sister. Yeah. He can't remember if he's running for president or
that
Senate.
Was hilarious.
I'm just sort of like, poor guy.
What did he do? He's
Was he next to his wife?
He was next to both of them.
he goes, is my sister. And it was his wife. He's just like, he's out of it, dude.
He meant it like, my sister, you know, sisters. women say it, like you're my sister.
Wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he did. I think that he's going to get destroyed in a debate against Trump. He's made too many gaffes and mess ups.
Yeah, but you know that Trump, like, just makes mistakes constantly.
Yeah, but he is a charismatic guy who could like sort of hold his own.
Well, I think the
public.
Problem is that if Trump makes a mistake in a debate, Biden may not call him out on it. If Biden makes a mistake, Trump will just
Even if he doesn't make a mistake, Trump will call him out.
Yeah,
on
just
it.
The past like stuff that's happened already. Yeah. Like he has enough material to do an hour set.
I can't wait to see Trump's new hour.
Honestly, I can't wait. I mean, to be honest, as much as I am not a fan of politics. In general, I am so excited for whoever Trump is going to go
I heard
against.
The next debate's going to be a Netflix special.
It should be,
Trump's
honestly.
Netflix special.
Yeah.
Are you upset that there's going to be no, definitely there's not going to be a female presidential candidate?
Mm.
Well, Tulsi Gabbard is still in it for some reason. I can't understand, but she's
So she has
she's
not
still
officially...
That's my girl.
She is not officially withdrawn.
No, I think she's just, I don't know what she's doing. She's not running ads. She's not,
she
it doesn't
campaigned.
Seem like she campaigns. Right. She's maybe just going from town hall wearing lays or
she
something.
She only got 1% more of the vote than I did.
Yeah, right.
Didn't she only get like 1%?
I think she just passed D's nuts is what happened.
Okay, cool. So she's got a chance.
She's running for Fox News contributor. That's what she's actually running for.
Yeah, no,
she's
going to
be doing that in 6 months.
You know, as a woman, I generally don't go in for identity politics. I try to stay focused on policy, and I really liked Elizabeth Warren. I thought she made some questionable decisions, but I still think that it would be a really good ticket to sort of pull the centrists and the uber lefties.
Are you together. A Sanders?
I am an annoying Sanders. I'm not a Bernie bro. I'm a Bernie schmo.
Okay.
And I will.
What does
only
that mean
respond
exactly?
To being addressed
because you're
as
not
such.
Like insane.
Because I feel like the term bro is erasure. I identify as a schmo.
Okay.
And I just want people to respect that. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I feel like Trump versus Biden would be a disaster.
Yes.
And it's not because Trump is smarter than Biden. Trump is a dumpster fire. But the only thing he's good at is being king of the trolls.
You don't
like
you
he
don't
would say
you
some
don't think
shit.
He would destroy Sanders?
No,
not the same way. No. Sanders has like this integrity. Like
it would
he
just
won't
be two guys yelling at each other.
Yeah,
yeah, but one of them would know what he's talking
about.
And, but it's also like that thing where it's like at a distance, if you see a crazy person arguing with a sane person, can you tell who's who? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, why do you think Biden would be so bad? I thought he was pretty
he's going senile. You can't. I mean, he's forget. I'm not even trying to make a joke.
I don't. First of all, why are they other? Everyone's like 90 years old. Yeah.
They
running.
Are too
what
old.
The
yeah.
hell is going
well,
on?
First of all, he just admitted recently that he stutters, and I didn't even know that he was
Biden.
Yeah, he has a stuttering.
But when
problem.
You watch videos of him from a few years ago, it's like,
stuttering.
Where's the stutter?
Yeah, I
well,
think.
Well, I'm sure he's kind of overcome it a lot, but he's a clumsy.
Maybe
always,
he forgot that he didn't
he's
have
always
one.
Been a clumsy politician. he ran for president 3 times already, or this is his third time, maybe 4th time. So he's a clumsy politician. So,
right.
He was. I don't think he was ever someone who was a force to be reckoned with.
I mean, you don't think he's gonna. Trump's gonna have a field day with him sniffing girls' hair and the young women. It's just gonna be a nightmare.
I don't
for
think
him.
He's gonna go attack him on that.
What?
Because
he's afraid.
Own, yeah.
But I don't think he cares.
What?
I don't think he. I don't think he. He has like a great answer for just everything. Like he won't.
Biden.
No, Trump.
Oh,
like
say,
you're saying you don't think Trump will go after him.
Of course
before.
He will.
No. No, Eric doesn't think he will.
No,
so that's
I
crazy.
Think his attack is going to be more of like, oh, I mean, that's why he needs the stock market to stay up, Trump, because he'll go and say, oh, if Biden's president, the stock market will tank, the economy will go in the crapper.
That's what he'll say for Bernie.
No, they're going to use that for Biden. For Bernie, that would be like, he's just going to change the whole economy around.
Yeah, that's
destroy everything.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's the fear mongering.
Biden's not that easy to run against. I mean, just because he's a moderate. I mean, just his policies. You don't understand your attack on him.
Maybe.
The only thing you could say is that he's goofy and he's clumsy a little bit.
Well, no, policy-wise, he's done some things that people aren't crazy about. But older voters like him because it's sort of like the trusted brand thing where it's like this guy was the vice president.
Yep.
You know, he worked on the Paris Climate Accord and he was with like the whole Obama Association. But a lot of
that's
young
huge
people,
for him. Huge.
They're going to have to play the shit out of that.
But a lot of young people are like, oh, here's a video of him being an asshole about the crime bill. Here's him being an asshole about Roe v. Wade. Here's him being an asshole.
But the only thing is, you know, this whole young voter thing, I feel like they don't come out, though. This Super Tuesday, they didn't really come out for Bernie.
Not for Bernie.
But
nothing
there was
changed.
Also a lot of voter suppression because Texas closed down a shit ton of polling sites. And then in multiple states, there were like, you know, 7-hour long wait times to vote and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, the youth turnout could be better, but also they do go out of their way to try to suppress the vote.
Yeah, I got to tell you, because I never have a problem voting. Like, wherever I go, there's never a line.
I know, me neither. It takes me like 10 minutes. Everyone's always like, oh, I don't want to vote. I can't believe people don't vote.
Yeah,
it always like blows my mind.
To going to what she's saying, though, would you wait 5 hours online to vote? I don't
know.
I would.
I wouldn't wait 5 hours to vote for me getting blown. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Is there an election
that'd
for that?
Be, yeah, I'm, there should be.
See, that's yeah, that's what we
would
should
you
be
wait 7 hours
to vote? For Tom to be blown?
Yes.
I might wait 7 hours to vote depending on where I lived. Yeah, I might. I'm that schmuck. If working wasn't an issue for me that day. I'm not saying it wouldn't be frustrating.
Why does it take seven? Like, where does it take 7 hours?
It's all about, like, where do you live?
I live on the Upper West Side, so it never takes me long because I'm surrounded by old Jews, and they're like, why do we want to suppress that vote?
These
are all rich old white people.
But it's a more of an upscale area, so they have a lot of voting booths. And, like, there's not, you know, in certain areas, they just don't have enough for the people who are voting. You know?
Why? What's
because they don't want them to vote because they don't want them to vote.
I don't think the Democrats were thrilled about a lot of young people supporting Bernie. And, you know, they were doing everything they could to get the vote down for Bernie. Also, Elizabeth Warren staying in, which, you know, you're right. She had a lot of people and people liked her policy, but it definitely hurt Bernie in the primary. Like, yeah, he would have.
It is funny.
Yeah,
but Bloomberg hurt Biden. So
not as much.
Bloomberg
not nearly as much. Though.
Yeah,
Bloomberg. But man, I had about a week where I was like, oh, it's Bloomberg, and then I saw that debate, and he was like, what do you mean? Wasn't that how he talked every time?
He has the worst accent. It's not New York.
They're
it's
like,
not
it's from Boston.
But it's not even a Boston accent. It just sounds vaguely.
They're like, you instilled racist policies.
He's like, I did not. He kept saying, I apologize for that. I was just like, oh boy.
That's not a good platform. I apologize.
I feel like every interview just kept saying that.
Well, he spent $500 million.
It's unbelievable.
On advertising, he should have taken a couple of debate classes. You know, I mean, it was just, he just lost it there on the debate.
He did. He took a few from his debate coach, Stockdale. Do you know who that is? That was Ross Perot's running
over
mate.
My head.
Oh, okay. Good, yeah.
Right. The guy who, yeah.
You remember that thing from 1953?
He took some debate classes from Dan Quayle.
Yeah. Oh, man. I remember seeing
he should have taken debate classes from William Jennings Bryan. I'm trying to get older with the reference.
Okay. Yeah. Okay,
and
yeah.
Nobody knows who that is.
No,
what about
you
from that guy,
me.
Cro-Magnon, man? Did I do that joke already?
I think that was before we were rolling. It was bad both times.
Thank God we got it, though.
Yeah, all right, cool. Yeah, I'm glad we got it on tape.
Yeah.
Right, so that's a good segue. So I want to... So Molly, you have a new web series out called Ratso.
I do.
Is that right?
Yes.
We talk about that.
We can talk about that. I filmed it over the summer in my mom's basement, like a real millennial.
Yeah. I saw part of it. Yeah. It looked really good. It was funny.
I liked it.
Thank you.
It looked good, right? I thought it came out well.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we've got 3 episodes up. It's just on my channel, which is Molly Heckerling on YouTube.
And okay. it's puppets, right?
Yeah. It's
but
like,
it's kind of like filthy.
You weren't sure about that? When you saw it?
Right?
You're like, I saw a lot of tits. Yeah, yeah. I wasn't sure.
I saw it on a really small phone.
One of the characters, I think, is a dirty diaper, right?
Yeah. We had some talking shitty diapers that made some very bad faith arguments.
Oh, okay. I just want, so why puppets? And I know you're into comedy and comedy writing and, producing and stuff, but why did you decide to go... Do you not like working with actors, or is it just, are you like into puppets?
I'm just like that loser.
Sorry, that
I was
sounded
like,
so weird.
What could
You're making
make
it
me...
sound deranged. Yeah.
Why do you have sex with puppets?
Yeah.
I was like, how can I make myself seem like more of a loser failure? Oh yeah, I'll start to work with puppets.
Right, okay.
No, I actually had the idea for the show because some woman I randomly met at the NAMM convention, it's like a music convention, was like, oh, I know someone who works in TV. They're looking for ideas. And like, I pulled an idea out of my ass. And then for some reason, I stuck with the idea and toyed with like, should I do animation? Should I do claymation?
Yeah.
And then I thought like, oh, puppets would be easy because you just make the puppet and then you have the puppet.
And like, who did you just had like people voice had provide the voices?
Yeah, me and my friends, we did voices. And
are you one of the
I
voices?
Had, I am. I'm Ratso.
You are. Yeah, okay.
I'm Ratso and Liza.
Can you explain what's the
premise?
So it's this guy Ratso. He's a rat. He lives with his mother in a dump called Landfill Heights, and it's just sort of like this cast of characters that live in this dump.
Yeah.
He works at a strip club for pigeons called the Coup Club. Mm. his best friend is a lab rat that's had like way too many experiments performed on him, so he's all cracked out.
So it's one of those stories that's been told over and over.
Yeah, it's super tropey and stupid. And I was like, all right, well that's easy to like hang anything on because it's so cliche.
Was there something when you were young? Did you like a puppet comedy?
I love
is there
the
a
Muppets
way to describe
and Meet the Feebles and
Meet
Avenue
the Feebles?
Q.
Is that the Peter Jackson one?
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that?
No.
It's insane. It's like insane.
Yeah.
It's just like deranged puppet movie.
What's Fraggle Rock? What's that? That's something.
That's
that
another was a Henson job.
That was a Jim Henson HBO show. I never saw because my parents didn't have HBO young. Oh. Thanks
Your parents wouldn't let you watch Fraggle Rack. It's too risque.
I saw the porn Fraggle Rack. No, I never saw it. I never.
Does that character have something to do with Rizzo from?
Yeah, we make a joke in the first episode where his mother's like, "Oh, I can't believe I let myself get knocked up by Rizzo from the Muppet Show."
Right.
Mm. I bet he never even gave Kermit my headshot. You know, that sort of thing. Because it's like they do kind of look like they look Rizzo-ish.
Right. And is Ratso a reference to Midnight Cowboy? Wasn't that his name?
He was Ratso Rizzo, so that's where they even got the name for
Rizzo. That his name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I go on YouTube, I'm posting my stupid videos, and it's like, he's not even the only Ratso puppet on YouTube. But, you know, for me, I'm like, well, if there were puppet rats, like, maybe the name Ratso would be like Mike for them, so who fucking cares?
Oh yeah, that's true.
It's not like anyone has the copyright.
Do you how many episodes do you have coming out?
There's 11 in total. Oh, and, it actually starts taking on a very anti-Trump vibe on the next one, so I'm kind of nervous because
why don't you disable those YouTube comments?
You should do that.
You might want to do that.
I'm not gonna.
Don't disable them. But yeah, that'll probably get a lot more. That'll get more attention. Probably you want people to get mad.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna piss off leftists too because the humor is offensive. It's like we have pigeon strippers that are getting smacked around.
Well,
and
I'm
stuff.
Sure leftists will get mad if it's just a thing they can look.
They
at.
Just get mad at everything.
Yeah, if they can see it, they'll get mad at it.
Yeah, it'll it'll piss off everybody if anyone watches it. So
all right, perfect. So are there things recently? Like, did you see the A Happy Time Murders? Did you guys see that? That was a puppet.
I actually
comedy.
Didn't see that.
I heard it was. Did you hear about it?
I have no idea.
It came out.
That was the Melissa McCarthy thing. The trailer looked great, but I never saw the movie because I heard the movie.
I heard the movie was really bad.
But the one thing in the movie that was really funny, they kind of gave away.
Was it the when he's like coming?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that part too. Yeah.
Do you have stuff that like graphic?
Yeah. Oh yeah, in the episode we just posted, we have like a money shot of like I made a puppet pussy looking thing to lay an egg for one of the pigeon
oh,
strippers.
Wow.
So it it's pretty dirty.
So how hard was that? How long
to
did
make
that
the
take
pussy
you?
Puppet?
Yeah.
Yeah, how long did you spend on the pussy?
The pussy actually didn't
detailed.
Take me that long.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's that's detailed, but it's not the world's best looking pussy.
Oh, okay. Is that intentional or just how it came
out?
Oh,
yeah. I mean, she's been through the mill.
Okay,
it is what it is.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. The puppets actually took... I've been working on this like on and off for 8 years. And I've been...
Really?
I did like other versions of it that didn't pan out. Or, didn't turn out the way that I wanted them to. So I was like, fuck it, I'll just do my last hurrah. Like, I'm going to do this one more time my way. And
did you, you're still, we met you through doing stand-up.
Yeah.
So you're still doing, like, a lot of stand-up?
No.
Okay.
The last time I saw you guys was the last time I did a show, and I fucking tanked.
Oh, man.
I remember that. It was at Broadway.
Yeah.
Was I there? I wasn't there.
I don't think you were there.
No.
I don't think so.
But I do remember you were like, they were really bad. And
no,
I
didn't
like,
say
yeah.
I never blame the audience. I always blame myself.
Oh, well,
because I'm not a professional.
I always blame the audience. So in my head, that's what it went to.
Because
when I went up after you and I was like, they were bad.
You were? I thought you did good, though. They liked you.
Not good enough.
Not good enough. It was a weird room, and it felt like it was hard to, get them all together. You killed that night, though, Eric. You slayed.
That's because I had puppets.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did bring out the big guns.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've talked to you about this before. So your whole like when you got into showbiz, you come from a showbiz family. So was there a time when like before this puppet thing, had you tried to like before you even did stand up, like try to like pitch shows or like did you get into writing? Like you want to do comedy writing?
I did. Yeah.
Did you ever have that experience of having to like meet with networks and stuff and being like, I have this idea? And
I've met with people and things haven't panned out. And I wrote a spec for Robot Chicken. And then I think I like murdered my chances by having one awkward phone conversation with Breckin Meyer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like I have lots of career regrets.
Okay.
But
what was that conversation?
It was he called me. I wrote a spec.
Oh wait, he was
script.
Okay, so he was in your mom's movie, right?
Yeah,
okay.
And he works on the show.
And you were like Road Trip sucks.
Right? Yeah.
I auditioned for Road Trip.
You did.
Yeah.
Wait, which guy is this in Road Trip?
You were supposed to be the Rachel Blanchard part.
He's the main guy in Road Trip.
The main guy. Okay.
The short
got it.
Guy.
And you auditioned for which part?
I auditioned for a couple of parts. One of them was Anthony Rapp's part. Do you know who that
is? Yeah.
And one of them was the least famous on the Road Trip, the like curly haired guy.
I remember.
So yeah. I remember like I'll tell this really fast. So I went in. My friend was like, he's like this movie actor guy, and he saw me do stand. I just started doing stand up, and then like I got a call, and they were like, "Hey, this is like DreamWorks."
How does that happen?
Because my friend was like a movie actor guy who had been in movies, and he had like told them, "Oh, my friend's funny,"
And so, you know, I'd been doing stand-up like a year, and they're like, hey, yeah, this is DreamWorks. We're doing a movie. Jesus. I want you to come out. I was like, oh, cool, yes, this is normal. And then I went in. They give me, like, you know, it's a comedy. They give me the least funny parts to read.
They gave you the whole script, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Oh, hey. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, yeah, it's not like a group. But, I mean, literally, it was like, I remember I was reading it. I was like, but there's nothing funny about it. So, like, I was like, oh, I'll go in and I'll banter a little bit with the casting director and, like, she'll see I'm funny. And I remember I was like, I brought up my friend. I was like, oh, so how do you know so-and-so? And she was like, work. Are you ready?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I was like, yep, there. That's so much for the banter part. And then I just did the scenes. She was like, all right, great. And, like, I was like, it was almost embarrassing how fast I was done, like, when I came yeah. out. Like,
oh,
like
it's never
like,
good to be that quick.
Did you audition for the snake that attacked Tom Green? Was that?
No, they said they had you you in mind for that. Yeah.
He auditioned for the stage directions.
Yeah, no, so that was my... Oh, so Breckin Meyer, yeah. So were you like, are you friends with him or were you friends with him? Did you meet him like on Clueless?
Yeah, I knew him as a kid and then he was working on Robot Chicken years later and, you know, I wrote a spec and he, you know, called me about it and he said it was funny but that it was too smart and...
That's what he said?
Yeah, which was really sweet of him. And then I just, like, you remember that scene in Swingers where you're watching Jon Favreau leave the girl the message?
Yes.
And, like, you just keep thinking, like, no, don't say that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like, that's how I felt. Like, I felt like I was watching myself have the conversation.
Oh, no. On
from
the phone?
Out of body.
Oh,
like,
no.
Where I was just, like, so awkward and self-deprecating and also, like, in a weird relationship at the time where I just sort of, like, made it sound like the whole thing was a bad idea for them to even consider me for the job. And it may have even come off to him as, like, why did I bother calling this girl? This was a waste of my time. What an entitled bitch. And it's, like, it was really, like, from my motivation is, like, the opposite where it's, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't stay in touch with him anymore.
No.
Well, were
don't.
You, was it coming from a place of, like, were you nervous?
I was nervous.
You is were it nervous? Because it was Breckin Meyer?
And I, yeah, well, I mean, I hadn't
well, who wouldn't
seen
be
him
nervous
or talked to
Breckin Meyer.
I hadn't
he's
seen
the poor man, Seth Green. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen him since I was like 9, and he had, you know, been doing movies and shit and blowing up since then.
No, he had like a big
he
career.
Did, no, but
yeah.
there was a time when it was like that role, like kind of nebbishy kind of role. Not too much, but like it was either him or Seth Green. Mm. Or, for
yeah.
like five or seven years, it was either one of those guys.
Right.
And for some reason, Breckin Meyer
it was high times in Hollywood.
Yeah.
He was in, like, the Garfield movie, right?
Oh, that's right. He played
yeah.
Odie. No, I know.
That's Eric's favorite movie.
He actually, played Myrtle. Nermal.
I like the second one better. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Was there a second one?
Yeah, it was Tale of Two Kitties.
Oh my God!
I know. I don't.
Did you just make that up?
No, I swear to God, I think that's the name of the movie.
Oh, you can't make that shit up.
How did you? Wow.
So was that like one of your first? So I guess like when you were kind of like, oh, I want to be in showbiz. Were you like, oh, I was your mom kind of like, hey, write something and then just like pitch it and then
no.
they'll make it.
We, you know, it's like I remember when
did
she
you feel
and
pressure
I,
too from like what your family was like being like, oh,
I mean, it's like, how are you going to live up to that? It's like,
yeah.
no matter
can
what
we
you
say
do,
her,
you're going to be.
Can we say her mom is again, just for new listeners?
Her mom is Mike Pence.
Yeah, yes. Mike Pence is, he birthed her, actually. And
that's why she was so mad. No, like, Amy Heckerling is your mom, yeah. The director.
Yeah.
And writer.
Poor
yeah.
thing.
And actually, you know, it's so funny. They're coming out with another Emma. I don't know if you saw that.
I know. Yeah, they are.
So when Clueless is like based on Emma, right?
Yeah. I feel like they're really dusting off the, you know, sort of like period, the female driven period pieces where it was like we had Little Women and now we have Emma. And
but Emma, they keep making that. I mean, it's like,
this
it's
like
Spider-Man, you know, they keep making it over and over again. You know.
Yeah. And I read it and I, you know, it feels like Jane Austen is wrapping you a neat little present that she like gives you at the end where it's like everything just all sort of works out.
I've never read it. Is it?
It's very much that way where it's like you introduce all these characters and you think this one's going to go with that one and this one with that one. And then oh my God, all is lost. And then at the end, everybody ends up with everybody.
Is Clueless very similar to it?
Yeah.
Except it has Paul Rudd.
Well, actually, the Christian character isn't gay in Emma. He's actually just engaged to some other woman that Emma doesn't like, and the vibe is like Emma doesn't like her because
she's
pretty.
Which one is Christian?
I
guess the guy turned.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy that she was hitting on or she liked.
Oh, he's like kind of the hawk dude.
Oh, so that was a good change that she made from it.
Yeah.
So did you feel pressure? Yeah, I mean, you must now even, but like when you first were starting out, or did it seem like a benefit or did it seem kind of like a detriment?
I don't know. I tried not to take advantage of that stuff because I don't like nepotism.
Oh, okay.
And now in retrospect, I feel stupid because it's like, oh, integrity's dumb too.
Yeah.
And but also yeah. I've watched, you know, like,
well, you feel the same way as the Trump kids. They're not into nepotism at all.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally.
Care, so.
Right.
You know, yeah. Tiffany Trump. Oh no, not Tiffany. Well, Ivanka has every business being at those meetings. You know, the one thing I can say for myself at this point is, like, I'm a big, huge loser, but at least I haven't raped anybody. Because, like, you know, that's where the bar is for me now. It's just so abysmally low.
Yeah, when I host a show, could that be your credit?
That's great.
Now on?
Yeah.
Hasn't raped anyone.
I know, right? Well, it's like I look at Max Landis and, like, all these other men in Hollywood that have, like, made it or benefited from nepotism or all this shit, and it's like, you know, I thought I was such a piece of shit for so many years for having one awkward conversation with Breckin Meyer, and then you find out that everybody's molesting children or something horrible.
Right,
it's like, oh, okay,
it's
maybe
way
I'm not
worse.
Yeah.
And since you've you came up in that business and everything, do you have any other funny, like, really awkward stories where you met someone in there and it was just like, oh, this is the most awkward story in the world?
My favorite story is like the Gilbert Gottfried thing with my babysitter when he just like came over and started making Holocaust jokes all night because her parents were survivors. And she liked telling everybody that because she sort of, you know, liked the pity that it would elicit.
Right.
And she tried to elicit pity from Gilbert Gottfried, which is like trying to draw blood from a stone.
Yeah.
And he just made Holocaust jokes all night long. And she...
That sounds like, yeah, something Gilbert Gottfried would do.
She got so mad that she called Howard Stern like a few days later, and they got Gilbert on the phone, and they proceeded to have these episodes of Howard Stern where it was just like Gilbert versus the German woman.
Wait, who's the German? That was your babysitter?
That was my babysitter.
And she called Howard Stern?
Yeah.
How did she get through?
She was in her 40s. She looked just like Howard Stern.
But wait, how did she get through to Howard Stern?
She just called the show because I guess she would like listen to him at like 6 a.m. At first she didn't even realize that they had put her on the air. So she was all like groggy and out of it. They almost hung up on her.
Oh.
And then they realized what was happening, and they got Gilbert on the phone, and they were like, this is hilarious.
Was he in one of your mom's movies, Gilbert Gottfried?
Yeah, he was in Look Who's Talking To for like a... He was the Gymboree teacher, which is like the worst person you'd want around your children.
An interesting bit of trivia. The Look Who's Talking, your mom directed, right? And wrote.
Yeah.
And the baby's name... Isn't it Molly? Or is
the baby's name was Mikey, but it was supposed to be Molly. And then executives were like, no, we want it to be a boy.
Kirstie Alley's character's name is Molly.
Yeah.
Named
she
like
it.
Your like yours.
Yeah.
Spelled like yours.
Yeah.
M-O-L-L-I-E. So that's kind of an interesting.
That's cool.
Right.
Cool. Yeah. I don't know. I still feel like I'm like the low point of my mother's career for sure.
No, because I was watching that. I think I told you I was watching that like in the last year, and I saw in the credits it was her. It was your name spelled like, and that movie is kind of about you, right? Mikey is you.
Yeah. Well, because it was also who is it? Rob Siegel plays the guy that she's fucking around with, and that's supposed to
be Peter Siegel. I think.
Is it?
I don't know. Something Siegel.
He's
Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal. He's supposed to be Harold Ramis in that movie because I guess that's what he, you know, he was married, he had kids, they had an affair, she got pregnant.
Well, he didn't come off too well in that movie.
No, but that line where he's like, oh, I'm going through a selfish phase, I guess is something that Harold actually said to her. And she was like, it's like that thing of like, don't piss off a writer because
it's going in.
It's going in.
Don't piss off a screenwriter who's had movies produced.
Right, yeah. Piss off the ones that aren't working.
Yeah, there's plenty of those.
But before he died, you kind of reconciled.
I knew him. He was cool. We weren't on the outs or anything.
Harold Ramis, we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a fun guy to smoke weed with.
Yes. I love that.
Oh, you smoked weed with him?
Yeah. He's like the kind of guy that would put joints out on his tongue, you know what I mean? He's just like a badass.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
I couldn't see him doing that.
And I think we talked about this before once with you, but like he had a falling out with Bill Murray.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
They reconciled
they
like right
reconcile.
When he was dying. Yeah,
you probably saw Bill Murray. No,
I didn't see Bill. Yeah. He's my half sister's godfather.
Whoa!
Oh.
And I guess he's like insane.
Is that Violet Ramis?
Yeah, Violet.
She wrote the book.
She wrote the book.
Okay, I think I saw her. There was like a documentary about Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
she's in it.
The
I
movies
think.
That made us.
Oh yeah, that was
yeah,
cool.
That's
yeah.
Right. Right. She's in that. Right.
That was fun. Yeah, she is. And I love watching that because it makes you feel like, oh fuck, if they could pull that off, then you know, because it's like you feel so bad for the guys in the special effects department. Yeah. They're just like drawing over the film, says it's not done, fuck it, it's going in. We don't have time.
Oh, you mean like how that movie just like kind of was down to the wire?
Yeah,
yeah, wasn't it like they said they weren't sure if Bill Murray was going to show up?
Oh yeah, yeah. Wow, yeah. That's so great.
He's crazy. Like you don't know if he's going to show up on set, but he might be your bartender in Brooklyn just randomly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. There's so many stories about him.
Yeah,
it's wild.
So now with this Ratso thing, do you think you want to like keep going and start producing
other
stuff?
Is this like an independent like online type thing? Or are you
it
looking
was it like
sell?
A was yeah. it like a passion project or something that you want
to
like?
It was a passion project. It's something that like we've tried to pitch before, but I wasn't happy with the version that we wound up pitching, and I was working with some people that like our sensibilities didn't line up.
Was it a thing where you were like pitching it and it wasn't going forward, and you were like, "Fuck it, I'm doing it myself." I always like those stories.
It was sort of like that, you know. I was working with these guys who were, you know, they produced it last time, not financially, you know. They had a production company that they were trying to get up and running, so you know, I paid them and we all made a sort of like a short pilot together, and but they were very PC. It was a difference in comedic sensibility where I felt like I was handcuffed, and it was frustrating because it's like, oh, we're male feminists, like this is your baby, blah blah blah, and it's like, well,
yeah,
you know,
if
then
you really
fucking
were.
Listen to me,
yeah.
we're male feminists, we're not doing that.
I kind of
get
feel
out.
Like I feel like white men who are trying to prove that they're good feminists are going to be the death of our entire planet.
I totally agree.
There's nothing worse than men more. Trying to convince women what good guys they are.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like the worst thing I've because it's total bullshit.
They're after women. They just
right,
want
they're doing
pussy.
It to get the woman to sleep with
it's
them.
It's so transparent.
Or they're trying to make their girlfriends happy. I just like, if
true.
One more man lectures me about the fucking Bechdel test, I'm going to punch myself in the face until I die.
All right, I'm glad you brought that up, because there's one thing I want to say about the Bechdel test.
What?
No, I was just going to lecture you on it.
Oh, okay, thank you. Can you please mansplain the Bechdel test to me?
I actually I had to have a woman explain to me what mansplaining was the other day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a
I thought
what
that
a
I had really come far with that.
Yeah, I've internalized a lot of misogyny. Can you men please explain to me what
well,
the Bechdel
you know, like, I don't want to, but I mean, I feel like mansplaining just became talking.
It's
like
it's explaining.
For you, it is just talking.
Yeah. That's what
it's
it is.
It's just a man say. Like, one time a girl was like, hey, I didn't see this movie. I was telling her the plot of the movie. She's like, oh, I'm like, and then she's like, mansplaining.
I don't
I'm like,
need you to
you
mansplain
didn't, I'm
it.
Telling you about something you don't know.
But it might be the way your voice sounds.
Yeah.
It always sounds weird.
You do sound very didactic.
Well, I do, yeah. I was listening to an interview I did recently, and I was like, I feel like I sound mad at this guy.
You do kind of. I feel like you're mad at me all the time. When
really?
You do the show.
I kind of am.
Oh, damn.
But you know, here's the thing. I've had that Bechdel test explained to me a few times.
Yeah.
And I still don't. I forgot what it was.
It's if you have two female characters, do they have one conversation that doesn't mention a man. Or an
oh
man.
Right, okay, all right.
Yeah.
And it's very weird as a woman to go through your own writing and be like, does this pass the Bechdel test?
I mean, that's that's
so you want to have a conversation where they don't talk about men.
Yes.
Right.
But why?
So Clueless does that, right?
No, Clueless does it.
Yeah. No, it does.
Like,
it
why
does.
Would you anyone want to see two women talking about anything besides men? Like, I don't understand.
Okay.
What else is there to talk about?
Like, they're talking what about? Like, female stuff? Is that
like
a thing?
Like shoes?
They're just talking about their periods. That's all.
They're talking about their PhD thesis.
Oh, right. Because that's interesting.
How did your parents, when they got into that,
mm-hmm.
did they produce their own stuff, or did
no.
they like
Because I feel like they came up in a time when it was like you could get a deal for like a movie, you know, if you were kind of like a hot young.
Yeah, but I don't think it was ever that easy. I think you're
right. But did I guess did your mom like just make her own movie?
No, my mom worked her ass off. She worked her way through college.
She went to film school, right? She went to AFI
and she made a short film.
And then from that, did she get, was Fast Times her first movie?
Yeah.
And was that from a short?
No, it wasn't from a short. But I know she had made a short in AFI called Getting It Over With, and it had won some awards.
About losing their virginity?
Yeah.
Was that about someone having sex with Eric? I'm just kidding, sorry.
It was about 15 minutes of a woman blowing a carrot.
Okay, cool.
But that, and back then, I mean, for a there wasn't a lot of female directors. It was hard for a woman to get a movie.
That's what I mean.
Do you know the story, from
what I understand of that, yeah, she kind of, was she someone that got someone's attention? And that, because she just kind of was, because Fast Times was just like a studio movie, right?
It was a studio movie.
And I don't know
where the leap happened. I know that she, you know, was working as an assistant editor for a while and you know, she would spy on Scorsese, who was down the hall. And
wasn't she super young, too, like in her
20s? Yeah.
Did she ever talk about what that was like? Like, oh, my God, now I'm directing like this huge... I mean, because I know that that movie became big, but I don't know at the time they had a lot of expectations of it. Because I've heard when it came out, the studio was kind of like, no one's going to want to see it. It was kind of the changing of the tide when they were marketing movies to kids again.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like even hearing stories about, you know, the producers and people that she worked with, it felt like there was a large influx of young people that were coming up at the same time and getting their breaks, and it was really exciting for all of them.
That must have been a crazy time. Must have just been like partying and like blow.
Yeah.
I'm serious, it was like the 80s.
It was like that doesn't happen anymore. Yeah. I mean,
no one in their 20s does that now.
There's still the 20s and the blow, but coupled with economic depression and an information glut.
Well, and especially in like entertainment, it's just, you know, the film movie business and everything is totally different. Back then, it was like, you know, movies were still kind of like, especially like comedy movies were kind of coming. I mean, the 80s was such a
hot time for comedy movies,
right?
Yeah, like Meatballs and Porky's and stuff.
And I mean, I know we've gone through this, but it's like your three parental figures are like responsible for like
almost all of them.
I know.
You break them down.
I really wish I was like suited for anything else at this point. I'm sort of like, why didn't I study like, you know, social work or like something to actually hang your hat on?
But it does interest you though, right? Like,
It interests me. It's like, you know, but you can be passionate about a lot of stupid crap that doesn't do you any good.
Well, I think what happened is the business, the structure. I feel like everyone in the film business is just on every level is like scrambling on some level. You know what I mean? Right.
Yeah, for sure. Because things that like the like what you're doing, I mean, independently produced projects are like kind of the biggest things now.
Yeah, you got to do it yourself.
Podcasts are the biggest shows. Like Joe Rogan's show has more appeal than, you know, The Tonight Show does right now.
Well, it really does. And it's one of those things you never know. Because, I listen to Mark Maron's podcast a lot. And he was saying that he, you know, he had done a lot in comedy, but his career all but kind of, he was just considered a has-been.
I mean,
it was like over. And he just started this thing. It wasn't when podcasts were, they were like nothing. And he was like, I'm just going to do this thing in my, you know, in my garage. And now he's... he's like a titan of it. It's insane to think that. So it's
he's
one
more
of those
successful
things
now than he ever was. Too.
And there has to be, So there has to be a thing. You know, it's one of those things when, you know, and showbiz is so full of like, hey, look at me, I'm on top, and then you're here, and then it's like 5 years later, it's like now look at me, I'm on. I just feel like showbiz is so rife with that. It just happened.
Fickle.
The shift is like constant. And you just have to like ride the wave, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm sorry. I hate when everyone's at the high point because it's like it's so hard to be happy for someone who's happy for themselves. You know what I mean?
And then you're and then you're like, well, it's never gonna not be like that. They're always gonna be at the high point. I'm always gonna be here.
And then a story comes out about them like molesting everybody, and then they're I'm a sucker for the person who starts a thing in their garage or their basement because it makes you feel like, oh, Like, you just have to be passionate. And the truth is, like, there's so many people that do shit.
I just think, I mean,
you have to be passionate and lucky.
Lucky.
100%.
Yeah.
Totally.
Lucky.
And I think a big point of it is, because when I was listening to Marc Maron, he was saying that when things were going so badly, he finally had a moment. He'd gotten sober and he had a moment where he was like, I have to accept where I'm at in showbiz, which is, nothing is going to happen the way I wanted it to happen.
Yeah.
So he had kind of basically... And it was a very, like, zen attitude. Instead of being like, well, I have to do this and then I'll get here, he just was like, I'm doing it because I'm doing it. I don't really give a shit. So it's interesting. You hear a lot of movies that become these, like, huge movies later. Fast Times is one of them. Mm-hmm. I always hear about... It's funny when you hear about these movies, like, when they're making them and everyone's like, when no one wanted to make it. Everyone said it was the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, we were making, and they were like, no one's going to see it. And Fast Times is one of those movies that it was like, no, they don't even want to release this. Yeah. They're like, who wants to see this? You know, it's like, who is the head of these? Who do they hire these guys from? It's always the people who know nothing.
Right.
They bring them, like, you know, Ghostbusters, and they're like, this will never work.
to be fair, they probably do that with most movies because everyone's afraid of taking risks. So outside of a Star Wars movie, I feel like most studio heads are like, this
but
probably
even Star
work.
Wars, they were like, no.
Well, but I'm talking about now.
No,
you
know? I know.
It's funny, though. The every successful movie, there is, you wonder if it's like a story after the fact that people like to say that it sucked or something, or that it wasn't going to work.
Every
it's
Oscar
every
winner.
Single one.
Like, when somebody
there's
won an
always
Oscar.
One person that believes in it, just the one person.
That one asshole who was like, I knew from Go that this was special.
Right.
Well, yeah, and it'll be like, it's always, I'll listen to interviews, like, you know, like, it'll be something like Brad Pitt will produce some movie. And they'll be like, no one wanted to make it. And I'm like, Brad Pitt went in and wanted to make it, and you didn't want to make it? Like,
what are you talking about?
Like, who needs to go in to pitch the movie?
If Brad Pitt looked at me for more than 1 second, I'm down for whatever that comes next. Anything.
But I mean, it's like, what chance do I? Because I've gone into pitch meetings, and I'm like, I'll pitch when I can tell they're like, immediately, like, we're not doing this.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. So the fact that Brad Pitt goes in and pitches things and they're like, no, sorry, Brad Pitt. Or I'll hear about some big movie stars like trying to get a script produced, or I don't know. Even when you've told me stories about like your mom or your parents, like that they were trying to get things made at some point. And I'm like, how is that not an instant go?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, it's like any success story is like sitting on top of like a buried iceberg of failure. So think mom only wrote Clueless because she was trying to sell something else. And everyone was like, no, it's too smart. And she was like, oh, so you want stupid? I'll show you stupid.
Right. That's so funny. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Out of spite.
Yeah. I mean, spite's a great motivator.
Absolutely.
I feel like it's what motivates most people in showbiz.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
It's a town built on like jealousy.
That's healthy, though.
It's healthy. Yeah.
No, I think that's why when you go there, I mean, whenever I go there, I always feel like a bad vibe. Like, I don't know if you, whenever I'm there, I'm like, no one wants me here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, because everyone's there, like, trying to do the same
great
thing.
Great attitude right there.
Yeah. That's
no,
just everywhere,
there. You've never, yeah, maybe it's just in here, actually. Yeah. I just feel like, because it's just like, everyone's, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm a comedian. Like, oh, really? Wow, just what we fucking need. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're going to do comedy here? And, oh, also, you act, too, a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's like when everyone's moved there to do the exact same thing.
Right.
And so there's no doctors left.
I just always feel stupid there. You know what I mean? Do you get that? I mean,
I've never actually been to LA.
Okay.
To like,
so you know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But do you know what I'm talking about?
I grew up there. I grew up
there. Did you get that feeling there?
For me at like 15, it's like, I've read all the Howard Zinn and Noam Chomsky and I've seen Through the Looking Glass and this is disgusting and I hate everybody. Mm. And then I left and then I wanted to go back. And now every time I go back, I'm like, you know, this place is one wildfire away from just not being livable anymore.
Yeah.
So like, I just don't
know. Do you go back there a lot?
I go back sometimes, like probably about like once or twice a year, maybe.
Oh, okay.
But, like, you know, I miss it because it's like, you know, the weed is great. And I like being able to see the horizon once in a while.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, those are about the two reasons.
That's pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's easy. I feel like you said, Eric, you said once that doing stand-up was easier there.
Oh, yeah, I think it is. It's just you can't get around.
Because it was so bad.
Yeah, well, most people aren't even really comics. They're like part-time, yeah, like actors. And you know, they're just doing it to get seen and stuff. So, mm-hmm,
yeah.
And it's very hard to get on stage, so the comics don't get reps.
But
so.
Once you're on stage there, if you've done the New York reps, you would say it's easier.
Oh, yeah. But it's just a matter of just the reps.
Just getting there.
I mean, there are comics, yeah, literally, who I've been on shows when I'm there. They do shows like once or twice a year. How can they be good?
Right, right.
You know?
That's
not
crazy.
Even a question of them being
That's
bad.
Not even... You're not
they
even a hobbyist.
They
at
just
that point,
don't even want to. They're not really interested in it. They're just kind of like, oh well, maybe I'll get in.
I think a
maybe
lot. That's
got to
be different
be
now,
here.
Though. Everyone's a comic now.
Yeah,
everyone's a stand-up comedian.
Which, yeah, but it makes it even harder to get on. It's hard in New York to get on stage.
I know.
In L.A.,
it's getting
impossible.
Hard. It's not. It's still pretty easy.
What is it?
Yeah.
Where?
No, I'm saying.
Can you get me on?
You do shows all the time. You enter.
No. But I'm saying, like, yeah, in New York, it's definitely very easy in a way because there's so many venues.
But it's getting harder.
I don't know if it's getting harder, but I guess
I can already see it since I started 3 years ago.
Are you? So I know you haven't gone on since that night where the crowd was weird. But are you? Do you want to get back on soon?
You know, that's my thing. Is like, I actually like I do stand up, but part of me also feels like, why do I do this? I don't think I like doing this. Like, I don't think I'm suited for this, and everyone else is doing it, and people who are better and more passionate about it. And then my boyfriend's like, no, you shouldn't stop. You're so good. And it's like, well, I only do like 2 shows every like 6 months anyway. So what, you know, I'm not really in anyone's way, I guess. But like,
yeah. Do you feel the itch to do it? Because that's the problem I have. Because I feel like I hate it a lot, but then I'm like.
But you don't, because you're always itching if you don't do a show. I do
get that itch.
It's been, let's say, more than a week.
You know what the itch is? I always want to do new jokes.
It's herpes.
Yeah.
All right, well, that might explain a little bit.
Yeah.
We all have that itch.
I always get the itch in my genitals.
And then you
and
go
I'm
on
like,
stage.
I must not be doing enough stand-up.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah, some girl was like, what's that thing in your dick? I haven't done stand-up in 2 weeks. But I like the urge I have to do it is more I like doing new stuff. I think because I'm not like I got to get up and do my jokes that I've done. I'm very like, oh, I want to do like this new stuff and see how it. I've gotten in a weird space with my stand-up where I finally like have embraced a certain pace I do. Like because I did a show recently and everyone was like killing, but I could see they were all kind of like it was like not a dumb crowd, but a crowd that like, you know, this guy when I don't know how to explain it without sounding like a dick,
I know what you mean.
But,
what
this happened? Guy was like, hey, man, I'm really fat. Look at me dance, you know, and
you
it was
a show
like
in New Jersey, you're saying.
I followed Eric and Alex.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm just kidding. But you know, like some girl was like, hey, you know, a real girl power set, you know, hey, girls, and you know, all right, that was my impression.
He sounds the same as the fat guy.
Was this all the same comic?
Yeah.
Have you noticed all my impressions are just me making the same voice? And then Trump went on and he was like, hey, I'm stupid. No, so like, but I don't, it was like, it felt kind of like pandering. And I was like, they're not really going to like what I'm doing because I'm just going to go up and be like, yeah, okay. And I didn't do bad, but I could tell like, I felt good because I don't like to do bad, but I didn't switch it up.
You didn't hack it up.
That's when you know what I mean?
Was like, it a paid gig?
Yeah, like, it was paid.
Was it paid a lot or no?
No, it was in the city, so
oh,
it was
okay.
paid.
That's
like,
good though.
Was it paid enough that you like would have felt bad if you like totally, okay?
But I think that's the rule.
It was only $3,000.
I feel like I think when you're in the city or you're getting no pay or little pay for spots, I mean, you be yourself. I feel like the only time that you may have to pander a little bit is if you're on the road.
No,
and people pay. I mean, you don't have to, but if you see
you
that it's
that
not
pressure.
Working,
no, you're right. Yeah.
You can't just be like, I'm going to do an hour, fuck this crowd, because you're going to bomb for an hour.
I'm not one of those, like, I don't care what, if I bomb, I don't care what you think. I feel like that's kind of bullshit. I feel like there's no one that completely can
doesn't
detach
care.
Themselves.
Yeah, no way.
Right? There's no, and I'll admit, I don't like
mechanism.
To do bad.
Yeah.
I like, but I also don't, I feel, like, I've done sets where I've kind of, like, switched it up for them to like, man, I feel like dirty after. I'm like, what was the point of that? So these people they didn't like me. I begged people to like me. Like, it's not why I got into this shit. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. I do. My stuff's kind of like, it leans a little dark sometimes, and sometimes yeah. I could just...
So like start with an abortion joke.
I'll start with an abortion joke, or like how everyone's crowdfunding for their cancer treatments, and I'm like, what, this isn't funny?
It's hysterical.
And, you know, it's like, no, right? Yeah. And like, it's like, oh, shit, I feel like, you know, comedy is... I mean, I don't know if it's morphing into it now or if that's just like an aspect of it, but I feel like... You know, now everyone is so young and adorable and funny, but in a relatable way that's not testing. And it's like, oh, I didn't get into this because I wanted to be young and adorable. I thought we were all older and miserable fucked up.
I think that's a facet of, I think it's the second thing you said, because there are definitely people doing dark, like, humor and, like, raunchy shit that have huge followings that are successful. I get what you're saying. Right. But, I mean, I don't know.
They
got
to build that following themselves. And so, like, if they're a no-name and they're in a club where nobody knows them.
Right.
They're going to have problems.
You're
sometimes.
Just going to depress everyone on a Saturday night.
Well, not depressed, but they will.
Think about Tim Dillon. He talks about
Tim Dillon,
Like, we're crowdfunding to, you know, help our, because we don't have health insurance. And, like, he'll make that into a bit that people are fucking, you know, dying. He's one of the best doing it, and he's super, super dark and disturbing. I don't know. I lean dark too. Right. And I think that if you're a real comedy fan, or you like, not real, that sounds stupid, but if you use comedy to get over things or to cope, then you're probably going to lean dark. You're probably not going to just be, I don't know.
It depends, because some people can also do dark stuff, but in a light way and make it work. I can always tell if I'm going to bomb because, like, if you know Chris Murphy?
Yeah.
If Chris Murphy does well, I know I'm going to bomb.
You know what? Me too.
And Adam Strauss, like, he's one of the most depressing but brilliant comics ever, and he bombed that night too, and I was just like, ah, fuck. Like, you already know.
Did you go on at right after him?
No, I went on right after Eric, so the crowd was nice and happy, and then I brought them down again.
Not sounding good
was
for
it
me.
As bad?
No, you were great. You're always great.
Yeah, you're pro.
That room can be, on that show, can be kind of weird, though. I've had some really bad.
Talk about Black Cat?
No, Broadway, 10 o'clock.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Oh, we should I not? On 10 o'clock. The crowd can be a little, like, they can be tough. I've had, like, rough sets there because it's a mix of good, like, you know, seasoned comedians and then newer ones who are, like, inviting their friends. And so there's a lot of people who have never been to a comedy show. And those crowds of people who have never been to a comedy show are very... A lot of times I don't do well with them because I feel like they don't know how to figure me out. Like, they're like, what? Like, they're kind of like, what is this? Do you know what I mean?
I feel like that's a lot of people that don't go to a lot of comedy shows, and I've seen real seasoned comics get up and have the audience just be like, what is this? What's the big deal?
Right.
And it's like, it's comedy.
And then, you know, I don't like to get into, I have such a hard problem with, my biggest problem in stand-up is starting. I actually saw Louis C.K. in one of his sets I saw on TV say that. He was like, I don't know how to start doing sets. And I have the same, because I feel so phony being like, so anyway, you guys, like, today I went to the dentist, and you know, I always feel like such
like,
a dick. What?
You're
like I'm fat. No, so I always have, like, sometimes sometimes I'll do it. No, not me, but another, that guy who's fat.
He's great.
Saying it. He was good.
You know that fat comic?
Yeah.
Oh, this is another, we have to wrap this up, but, like, he did this thing where some comedian had died, like, the day before, and he brought it up at the end of his set, which, okay, it's fine. You know, it's
like a
homage.
Tribute?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, he was like, you know, and this guy died, and he was a friend of mine, and, you know, it's like, oh, and I had to go on next. And I mean, not to, but it's like, dude, I don't want to go on now after, like, everyone's mad that this guy, everyone's upset about this guy. And then I get up there, I'm like, hey, everyone's stupid. So I thought that was kind of shitty. Like, don't bring them down like that.
Well, you could.
Do you agree or not?
I could have opened on another moment of silence for someone else, being like, on that note, I also want
to. I thought I was so close to saying something, but I was like, you can't say that. There's no way you could. I mean, I wasn't that close to doing it, but it kind of annoyed me. I felt like he was kind of setting me up to.
Yeah.
It was his fault that I did bad. I didn't do even that bad, but whatever. All right, so we got to wrap this up. So please check out Molly's web series,
you said
Ratso.
It was on your YouTube channel. So.
Yeah, so it's just Molly Heckerling on YouTube, and the first three episodes are there. Mm-hmm. And the next one's going to start getting there's a character named Corny Dump, and he's, all right. he's Trump, so we'll see.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Corny Dump?
Maybe I will disable those comments. Yeah.
No. That'll get some exposure.
Yeah, you know, the first time you see him, he's fucking his daughter, and then he's like, oh, this is my daughter, Ritzy.
I love it.
Okay. All right, cool. So are you pitching that to Nickelodeon?
It's for the kids. Yeah.
Nick Jr., actually.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Okay, well, that was a great show. Thanks, everybody.
That's it.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Last exit to Brooklyn, I am the carefully the queen holds my scepter. Getting them like a derelict on scotch. I'm Dick Lewis, cause baby, I'm watching you scheme on a brother for a night.